Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into episode 185, an off-season summer edition of the show. And the heat is killing me, Blake. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it was super hot in SAS too, like
it's in brutal.
The 30s.
It's brutal.
Yeah, I'd rather this than winter, though.
I wouldn't. I can stand it.
Winter, you got those snowstorms. You know, you can deal with the heat a little bit.
Not if you want to do anything.
I wouldn't be going out walking, caddying in this weather.
That's what I did all day. I mean, that's when the golf tournament's scheduled. I mean, what do you do?
It's tough.
Tell them it's too hot?
I like golfing in the heat.
My daughter played today, and it was, I don't know, man. It was brutal, but it's fun hanging out with her and trying to help her grow her game and watching her enjoy golf, because I love it. I don't have to, at this age, when it's 100 degrees, 105 degrees, I stay home. But, you know, she's in youth tournaments, and you got to play in them, and, it was fun, but, it's almost impossible to get anything done outside this last week. I hope it breaks here. And sounds like we're getting big storms tonight here, so hopefully the internet does not go out during this show. Yeah. Question for you, Blake. What are the Vancouver Canucks doing? They drafted a player named Elias Pettersson.
I mean, they need defense, and he's one of the best D-man available. So don't know much about the guy, but I do know he's 6'3", left shot. I mean, he can never have enough D-man, that's for sure.
So what do you put on the jersey to distinct between the two? Good and bad,
In summer, in development camp, they put E. Pettersson. So,
which is the exact same as the other one?
No, Pettersson, Elias Pettersson is just Pettersson.
It's the same.
It's kind of funny.
He won't make it to the big leagues because we're not going to have to deal with it.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be pretty funny if he did.
Yeah, but we're not going to have to deal with two players with the exact same name on one team. That would...
I will tell you, I really like their first round pick, though. I mean, they say he's got the best shot in the draft, so we'll see what happens.
Have you ever heard a Vancouver Canuck fan say they didn't like their picks? Every year. Oh, this guy's good. This guy's good.
I will say, though, I will go on record and say when Elias Pettersson got drafted, I hated the pick because I wanted Cody Glass, and I didn't know who the hell this Pettersson guy was. So that just goes to show that you can't jump to conclusions.
Or that Blake doesn't know what he's talking about, one of the two. It shows us one of the two.
I mean, he's supposed to go 20th. They went 5, so I'm just like, all right.
And it was the one pick that Vancouver has nailed in the last decade, and you are criticizing it.
They drafted Demko, they drafted Hughes, they drafted Brock Besser, so I don't know how you can say that.
Well, Hughes was handed to them.
Yeah, because Detroit passed on him.
I mean, all right. Did you see what Yarmir Yager put on Twitter? I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, he's got to be, in his 50s?
Yeah, he's 50 years old.
Yeah.
He probably could still play for half the teams in the league.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I just thought it was funny when he does that just as a good joke to fire it out there. But, yeah, interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. We got a busy show. We got the draft to touch base on. We're not going to talk a lot about the draft because it was fairly uneventful in my mind. But we will talk a little bit about the draft. We'll roll through free agency, talk about all the signings, all the trades, a couple odds and ends that go along with that. We'll go around the league, talk about Duncan Keith, some long-term IRs, arbitration, and the Chicago Blackhawks. Are they trying to suck or what? All right, first round of the draft. We're not touching on anything after the first round because it was pretty irrelevant. It was the speediest second to seventh round I've ever seen in my entire life, though. I had it on TV as I was doing some work, and it was just like round two, gone. Round three, gone. Round four. It was just record pace.
Well, yeah, once they just get announcing them at the tables, it goes pretty quick.
Well, last year when they did them virtual, the draft took like 72 hours. They get in person, and things tend to speed up just a little bit. Let's talk about the first round as Slafkovský gets drafted first by the Montreal Canadiens. Were you surprised? Since you said guaranteed.
I was guaranteed. I was surprised. I thought they would have went with the centerman down the middle and paired right with Suzuki, but I mean, we'll probably get into the trades they made in a little bit, but I mean the pick made a lot more sense once you saw they made those trades and who they acquired. So I mean, yeah, I mean the guy had a unreal Olympics for the Slovaks. He's 6'4", 230. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that pick, but yeah, I was surprised.
Simon Nemec picked second by the New Jersey Devils, and Logan Cooley is picked third by the Arizona Coyotes, and then Shane Wright picked fourth by the Seattle Kraken. And, you know, it goes to show me one thing. It goes to show me that in the National Hockey League, general managers and scouts still care about character.
Yeah, no, you just look at the interviews leading up to the draft. I'm the best player in the draft. I'm going first overall, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I mean, yeah, like you could say that he's a confident kid, but I mean, in a way, he came off as a pretty cocky individual. And I mean, there's a reason why three teams passed on him. I mean, you saw the little deaths there that he gave to Montreal. He said he didn't do it, but everybody knows that what he was doing. But yeah, like it's also really good for Seattle for a player like that to kind of fall in their laps. I mean, they're looking to rebuild their like start up their franchise. And I mean, they get a top center pick. Maybe I don't want to say he's a franchise center, but I mean, the ceiling is pretty high. And for him to fall to Seattle, I think that's really good for that franchise.
Yeah, but I think any franchise that says that anybody technically falls to them says it was a blessing. But I mean, we're going to find out in 5 years that it was a blessing. And
I really like what New Jersey's doing too. I mean, they pick up Marino, they add Nemec to that right side now too, and they already got Dougie Hamilton on that right side. So the right side is looking pretty good for the near future.
You know, I wonder when I look at this draft lineup, and I don't know that there's a guy in this first round. I don't know. I mean, I guess in the top six, I guess, that I think will play in the league next year. I think Shane Wright will play in the league next year, but I don't think he should.
Slafkovský will go to the AHL.
Yeah.
I think he'll go to Laval. Nemec will probably go back overseas. Cooley will go.
He's going to Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah,
Minnesota,
I think
Minnesota, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's Minnesota.
Yeah.
I really like what Chicago did in the first round. I don't agree with like how they went about it to get the picks, but like I really like that Kevin Korchinski guy. Puck moving D-man from Seattle. They got that from in the DeBrincat trade, which we'll get to in a second. But I like Buffalo's pick, getting Matt Savoy, another centerman for the Sabres to kind of put in that prospect pool. But yeah, there was a lot of interesting picks. Kind of a couple teams went off the board.
I don't know that it's that crazy. We kind of talked about it on last show that. Off the board's probably not going to surprise us too much this year, just with the way that the draft was described to us by NHL scouting. Is that it's kind of a wide open draft and a lot of unknowns in the draft, and I think when you have that, you're going to get the off the board stuff. And I think that's where it boils down to, you know, and it'll be interesting to see is, I wonder if this year we have a trend back to letting some players marinate a little bit in the minors and stuff. I think there's a trend back to that. If you look around the league, I think it hurts teams more than helps teams to rush players. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if any of these guys earn a spot on opening night rosters. But I guess time will tell on that.
Yeah, another guy that he was supposed to be a top 15 pick, and he fell to Winnipeg at 30. So Brad Lambert goes to the Jets. That could be a really – I might be – steal of the draft potentially. We'll see about it.
Anyways, the draft was fairly uneventful. Not a ton of movement, not a lot of things going on. Well, there's a couple of trades, and we're going to get to that trades here in a little bit, but all in all, fairly quiet. Let's roll on into free agency and talk a little bit about the signings, and let's kind of rewind the clock back to July 8th when we last talked, and kind of look at the signings from there as we go through. But Adrian Kempe re-signs in L.A. for 5.5 for 4 years. And I like this signings. I think he's a great hockey player, and I thought that was in a time where people are morons and sign players for way the hell too much money, I didn't think this one was too bad.
No, and Kempe is he's a core guy for them, right? So they got him locked up at a reasonable price for 5 years. So, I love that deal for LA. He's going to be a big part of that team moving forward. Probably plays with Kopitar on the top line, if not top line, definitely in the top six. So, yeah, that's a really good value deal for them.
Philippe Forsberg finally signs in Nashville after I can't say a lot of back and forth. It's just a long negotiations. He gets a deal wrapped up at 8 years, $8.5 million, almost a must sign for Nashville. And I don't mind the price tag, maybe a half a million more than what I thought, but all in all, it's in the ballpark, I thought.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Well, he's 84 points in 69 games last year, and it's not.
It's just like, I don't know, like, I get that he wants to. I get that he felt that he owed Nashville for signing the 8-year deal, but I mean, I just don't know what direction they're going in.
You could say that for 25 teams in this league.
Yeah, I didn't mind the deal. It's just like, I don't know. I don't see them being a contender in the 8 years that he's there.
How in the world can you say that?
I just don't their prospect pool ain't that good, Brad.
Okay, well let me refresh your memory.
It's a long way down the road, I understand
that. Let me refresh your memory that most teams aren't built just through the draft.
No, I understand that, but like,
so if that's the case, then Vancouver's not gonna be a contender for the next 8 years either.
Vancouver's got decent prospects, and they got a franchise goalie. They got a top D-man. They got good center.
You don't think Nashville doesn't have a franchise goalie? UC Saros was one of the best in the league last year. One of the best.
I know. I just worry about his size.
Well, you were you said that all last year, and he was in the top five all last year.
No, he's great. No, I love UC Saros. It's just like you look at Nashville's team, and it's like,
well, he's not getting any smaller, so he darted
down. They don't got any guys that scare me. You play Nashville, like,
they won a lot of hockey games last year and made the playoffs.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just like I just really don't like their team. That's all. I don't know.
Valerie Nichushkin signs a 8-year deal in Colorado for 6.13. This one surprised me a little bit. I thought that was a tad bit high. He's a good hockey player, but we haven't seen a huge sample size to warrant 8 years. But
Well, he's a guy that got paid off, paid by his playoff production, right? I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes that happens. I mean, you guys don't have the best regular season, but they have a great playoff run. He's a big part of that cup winning team, and they kind of had no choice to bring him back.
I'd rather pay off of postseason because I think that's more important than a regular season. I'd rather, you know, pay off that, but I don't know. I don't know.
While we're sticking with Colorado, they also brought back Josh Manson, 4 years, four and a half. So I think that was more important than bringing back Nichushkin. Like, he was unbelievable for them. You know what I mean? It's like, he scored so many big goals for them throughout the playoffs, and to get him locked up for 4 years at four and a half is a really good deal. And he just turned 30, so.
Yeah. Let's roll on into some Penguins. We've got two Penguins to talk about. Ricard Raquel signs 6 years at $5
million. Yeah.
I don't know what I think on that one.
Well, before this happened, I'm like, okay, they gave Raquel 6 years, $5 million, and they still have Malkin unsigned. I'm like,
I thought Malkin. Really, I thought Malkin was gone.
I said to myself, did they really just choose Raquel over Malkin? I'm like, what is going on here? And then Malkin ends up re-signing the very next day, and I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I love the cap hit for Malkin. 6.1.
You do like that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's $3.5 million less than what he was making.
I saw this contract and I thought, they are batshit crazy. This guy is hurt all the time.
He's 35. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30 for sure, but.
Oh, the bad long side of 30.
Yeah.
This term, and they're going to hate this contract.
But if he stays healthy, and I think he's going to be a very motivated guy.
Why? Why would he be motivated?
Because he was hurt most of the year last year, and he was hurt last year.
And the year before.
And people are saying that this guy's done. He's old. He's washed up. I think he's going to have an unreal year next year. I wouldn't put it past him to have a 100-point season. Serious. He's still got lots left in the tank.
He's hurt all the time.
A guy that I would not doubt whatsoever.
I don't know. We'll see. But I think that contract is going to be hated bad. I actually had that as one of my worst contracts of free agency.
Well, you want to know.
Well, we're going to get to some other bad ones.
You want me to tell you what the worst contract was?
Well, we're going to get to it, I'm sure.
I can't say it right now?
No, we're going to get to it.
You already know. I think you know what one I'm going to say, too.
I think I know.
Okay.
Evander Kane and let's talk Edmonton. Evander Kane signs 4 years, 5.13, and Jack Campbell signs 5 years at a $5 million cap hit. Thoughts on those two signings?
Yeah, Evander Kane was a perfect fit for Edmonton. Put up monster numbers in the two rounds. Edmonton kind of had no choice to bring this guy back. I worry about the four-year term a little bit with his history, but who knows? Maybe he's matured and figured it out in Edmonton. But if he produces last year, if he produces like he did last year, 5.1 is not too bad for them. And Jack Campbell, Edmonton's needed a goalie for a long time. I would have maybe went out and got Kemper for a little bit more money, but five times five for Campbell. A guy that has proven himself the last year and a half in Toronto as the guy. He's had his injury history in the past, but I mean, Edmonton needed to address this position. I was surprised they didn't do it last year. They tried to sign Markstrom a couple of years ago. He went to Calgary. I don't mind it at all.
You know, I'll get to the Kane, but on the Jack Campbell, I did not mind this. I think Jack Campbell's good. It's a definite upgrade. Let's put it that way. But one
for sure.
Thing that, you know, you mentioned the Kemper thing, and I heard from multiple sources that Kemper wasn't even going to consider Edmonton.
Oh, really?
Wasn't on their radar. Or wasn't going to even, he's not even going to consider an offer from them. So that being said, for them,
Campbell's the next best guy.
Well, and that's just the thing. In previous years, Edmonton's not got their wish in net and then plugged it with a bad plug. Like,
well, yeah, they tried to sign Markstrom, and then they panic and scramble. Now we'll bring in Mike Smith.
And then band-aided it, yeah.
It's like, okay, you give a guy 5 years of rope, and you say you're our guy for the next 5 years. And, I mean, I love Jack Campbell for the Oilers.
As the Evander Kane thing goes, a couple things. I think it's a risk that Edmonton had to take. But is it a risk? Yeah, probably. But I also look at like what the yearly cap hit is. And Evander Kane is costing himself probably $2.5 million a year in salary because he's a moron.
Yeah, I mean, you could say he's a $7 million player for sure.
I mean, you throw all of his baggage out the door.
He might be an $8 million guy.
He might be an $8 million guy.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy how the world works? Oof. So Claude Giroux ends up in Ottawa, signs a 3-year, $6.5 million deal, and yeah, I'm gonna wait for it.
Good call. I'll give you that one.
I just heard he was building a house there, and
I'll give you credit when it's due. You don't need to ask for it.
Yeah. Do you like this contract though?
I do. I mean, it's a team with a lot of cap space, and they have the majority of their guys locked up long term, so they're not going to have much cap problems moving forward. They got to sign DeBrincat next.
Well, they've got a ton of young stars that are going to have to be signed in 3 years.
No, they don't.
Jake Sanderson.
Yeah, Jake Sanderson's not going to get paid that much money coming off a rookie deal, unless he blows the doors off people. But
there's more than Jake Sanderson. There's Bernard Docter.
Yeah,
there's
listen. They got Tkachuk locked up. They got Norris locked up. You got Drake Batherson locked up. You got to pay Tim Stützle after next season. So I mean, next year, let me see. They have $34 million cap space next year. They gotta bring in a goalie. And they got to re-sign DeBrincat and Stützle. So there's not much that you need to do really.
Yeah.
I really like what Ottawa's building here though. Yeah. They're doing it the right way. They drafted their core. Now they're sprinkling in some veterans. DeBrincat kind of fell into their lap, it seems. Claude Giroux is a perfect guy. He's 34. I think he's still got some juice left in the tank. And he's going to mentor those young superstars, and we'll see where it goes.
Robert Thomas signs in St. Louis at 8 years, 8.13.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a gamble. You're paying him for the player that he's going to be, not the player he is now. Right?
It's a slight risk, but I think this is an educated risk.
Right now, I mean, he might not be an $8 million player until maybe he's 25, right? He's 23 years old right now. But, yeah, in order for you to get 8 years, you got to give a little term. Or you got to give a little dollar.
Oh, he got term and dollar. And he's got to love that contract because that one's going to be a good one for him. I'm not saying that St. Louis overpaid, but they definitely are paying market value for 3 years from now and not this year. Vinny Trocheck signs in New York, 7 years, 5.63.
Yeah, the 7 years kind of surprised me. Good cap hit. He's about to be 30 years old. So this was a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm surprised they just didn't bring back Kopp, for two years less. And I don't know, that one, it made sense, but it didn't make sense at the same time.
Because Kopp was the next guy signed, and he signs a 5-year, $5.63 million deal. And
it's the same AAV, 2 years less. Yeah, I don't know. It's just
I love, actually, of all the signings, Andrew Kopp was the one guy that's like, I want that guy on my team.
Yeah, I really like Ottawa, I really like what Detroit's doing. They got their young core, like Ottawa. They bring in some veterans, the David Perrons, the Cops. They brought in Ben Chiarot. They brought in Billy Husso. Like Stevie Y is building something in Detroit.
Yeah. It's taken a little while, but it's definitely on the right track, and that's good. Let's cruise through a couple quick. Nick Leddy signs St. Louis 4 years, $4 million. I think that's fine.
That's a little steep, no?
How many defensemen are getting less than four now? I hate to say that. It's the truth.
Well, let's get into the worst contract of the day then.
Okay,
go. Eric Branson gets 4x4 from Columbus. What in the hell are they doing? What did Eric Branson show?
Well, Eric,
$750,000 contract 1 year in Calgary to show that he's worth $4 million a year over 4 years.
Eric, Calgary wanted to re-sign him because he was really good last year, but Calgary was not giving him that much money. And
way they're giving him that money.
No, not even close. Not even half of it. And Columbus loved what they saw. They said that Jarmo Kekalainen said that this was his number one free agency target.
Yeah.
Which means they targeted him higher than Johnny Gaudreau.
That's not true.
He said it was his number one free agency target.
Maybe that's what he had to do to get Gaudreau to come.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy, Eric
Branson. I'm sure. Vancouver signs Ilya Mikheyev 4 years, 4.75.
Yeah, it's a little high price-wise. I don't mind the 4 years. He's only 27, and he brings what the Vancouver Canucks needed most, and that's speed. He's one of the fastest guys in the league. The Canucks struggled mightily on the penalty kill last year. He's a really good penalty killer. He scored 21 goals last year, Brad, on playing on a line with Kampf and Pierre Engvall in a more defensive role. So I think the Canucks look at this guy and say, you know, if we put him with like Bo Horvat or Elias Pettersson, that they can maybe unlock some of that offensive skill set, because he hasn't really got a chance to prove his offensive ability in Toronto. So I like this signing. Maybe I would have got him like $4.5 million, but I mean, I don't mind it at all. It wasn't the 5.3-6 that he was reported at the start. So,
we'll see. I don't think it addresses
a lot of needs.
I don't see it as a horrible contract, but we'll see.
No.
Let's go through the trio at Tampa Bay as Sergachev signs 8 years, 8.5. Cirelli 8 years, 6.2. Chernak 8 years, 5.2. This team is signing everybody for 8 years. You'd swear they were the San Jose Sharks.
Well, I mean, the kind of pattern that they're doing here is like, take a bridge deal and then we'll take care of you later. Do you kind of sense that? Because Cirelli, Sergachev, Palat, they all took 3-year deals.
Initially.
They couldn't afford to bring back Palat, but it kind of seems like the route they're going.
Well, not anymore.
What do you mean not anymore?
Well, they just signed all these guys to 8-year deals.
That's what I'm saying. They sign a bridge deal first, and then they lock you up.
I don't know. I hate 8-year deals to start with. Anything over 5, you start getting into trouble. But I also know that to get guys, you're going to have to give that. So I think it's a double-edged sword. I still venture to find a signing that after year 5 is one that the team is happy with right now. And
right.
There's very few of them. I could probably name a couple of them. Probably Alexander Ovechkin was one. There's a handful, but there are a hell of a lot of signings that get past 5 years where the team's like, yeah, we love this. This is great. Yeah. Darcy Kemper signs in Washington, 5 years, 5.25. So he gets $25,000 more than Jack Campbell.
Yep. Same term. Yeah, no, I like this deal. Washington obviously didn't feel comfortable with Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek in net. And then they went out and got Darcy Kemper, who I think is a fringe top 10 goalie in the league. And, yeah. I like that upgrade.
Colorado, Arturi Lehkonen, 5 years, 4.5.
Yeah. Another guy that...
it's a lot of money for...
Slightly overpaid a little bit. He's like a middle six forward. But he played well for them in the playoffs, too. And he showed that he's an important piece to that club.
Ben Chiarot signs in Detroit, 4 years, 4.75. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of money too. He's not the quickest of skater, but he's a tough customer for sure. Definitely makes the Detroit harder to play against. But see what happens.
Andre Palat signs 5 years, $6 million in New Jersey. This will definitely help New Jersey out, I think. And I didn't hate even the term on this one. Did you?
No. And Detroit's got cap space for days, right? And
it doesn't mean you waste it, though.
No, it doesn't mean you waste it. But I mean, if you're going to use it, you're best to use it on a guy like that. Josh. A guy that's... He's won two cups. I mean, he's a proven winner. He shows up in big games.
He doesn't seem like he should be 31 already, though, does he?
Oh, I know. He's been in the league forever. It's crazy.
Josh Norris signs 8 years, 7.95, and I about fell off my freaking chair when I saw this one.
Yeah, thank though. It's a little much, Brad. The guy had 35 goals. In 60 games this year.
66.
35 goals.
One time.
He's for 50 goals. I think this guy is going to be one of the best centers in the league in 5 years. But maybe even less, maybe 3 years. I think this contract is steep now, but so is the Robert Thomas, right?
I feel like Robert Thomas has more upside.
You're paying... Norris is a better goal scorer, though. And that's what you get paid, to score goals, right? I think he's a responsible two-way center. He's a big part of that offense. Plays the half wall on the power play. I don't buy the steal at all. Like I said with Rob Thomas, you're paying the guy's future more than the now. I don't mind it.
And the big one of free agency, Johnny Gaudreau signs in Columbus, 7 years, $9.75 million. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it was a shocker. I thought he was going to New Jersey or Philly or Detroit or somewhere more east. When I popped up on my phone that it was Columbus and for less money. Yeah, definitely a head scratcher the way that Johnny handled himself in that press conference. That would leave a sour taste in my mouth if I was a Calgary Flames fan. But I mean, all these Flames fans that are bitching and moaning about Brad Treliving letting him go for nothing. I mean, what do you want the guy to do? He offered him 8 years, $10.5 million to stay and finish his career in Calgary. It just seems that he didn't want to play in Canada. And really, I don't blame him. The way that the pandemic has been handled the last couple of years, I mean, if I was an American, I probably wouldn't want to live here either, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's a big part of it. And you know what? For the criticism of Brad for a living, and that's just uneducated fans is who's doing that, because it's crazy. The guy did everything he possibly can do. You know, if he would have moved him last year, there would have been freaking riots in the street in Calgary.
Oh, there, yeah. That's like, and, you're traded for nothing. Oh, they should have traded his rights at the draft. It's like,
you'd have got nothing. And he was still negotiating with him. The part that upsets me on this is I'm not upset Johnny Gaudreau is gone. Because we did everything we could do to keep him. We actually offered $1 million more a year than I would. My top was 9.58 years. And Brad Treliving won 10.5. So he did everything he could do. He left $15.75 million on the table to go to Columbus. And that just tells you he didn't want to play. And the way he handled his press conference is just solidified that he's going to get booed in Calgary now. Because he could have got cheered in Calgary, but the way he handled it, now he's getting booed.
He went on a Canadian TV show and he said that he's got something planned to thank the fans of Calgary. I don't know what he's gonna do.
Save it.
Yeah, the way that he said it, that would leave a sour taste in my mouth for sure.
Just save it. But here's the deal. Here's what bothers me. If he would have said to Brad Treliving at the end of the season, "Listen, I'm not going public right now, but plan your direction without me. Because I'm not signing here." I would have been, hey, I have all the respect in the world for him if he would have done that. But he negotiated up to the last minute, then said it was a family decision. Then why are you negotiating up to the last minute if it's a family decision? I respect family decisions. If your family's not happy, you're not happy, and that's not good. So you got to go do what your family wants, and I respect that. And he had every option to do that. It's his right. But to do it and handle it the way he did, I lost a lot of respect.
Yeah, well, and I also was reading an article that his wife is a children's nurse, and Columbus has one of the best children's hospitals in North America, so maybe that was a factor why he chose Columbus. We don't know. I mean, you look at Jacob Trouba, he did that. He went to New York for his wife too, right? So
I am not against that.
It's just like,
just be honest.
Just Flames fans were just, I don't know.
Be honest.
Like, I get that they're upset, but Johnny Gaudreau really owed Calgary nothing.
No, he didn't owe him anything.
You earned that right to get to free agency.
But
he played 12 years there?
Yeah, but he didn't have to screw him on the butthole on the way out.
Yeah, he definitely could have went about it a little different for sure.
Yeah, of course, last season, if he's asked if he wants to stay or leave Calgary, he's going to have to say he's going to want to stay.
Like,
I don't have any problem with that. But you know
like
what?
The Tavares stuff when he went to Toronto.
Yeah,
it's
but
like, you should have told the Islanders sooner that you were leaving. It's like, what? What do you mean?
But he didn't leave Toronto for family reasons or leave the island for family reasons and say that. He didn't have an excuse. He just said, I wanted to go play for the Maple Leafs and they were going to give me more money.
Well, and he's from there. He wanted to go home. Yeah.
You want to know what I think? There's two factors here. You want to know what I think? Here's what I think. If Johnny Gaudreau signs in Calgary for $10.5 million, the frickin' heat's on little Johnny next year to be a $10.5 million thing, and I don't think he likes the heat because he never produces in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that likes the heat. Well, where are you going to run from the heat and still get paid pretty well? Columbus, right?
Yeah.
And I understand the whole COVID pandemic thing in Canada. That had to be tough not to see your family. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Canadian teams are going to feel the wrath of that for the next decade.
They might. Yep.
I really do feel that way. And, you know, there's a lot of people in Calgary who say, we can't sign Americans anymore. Oh, give me a break. It could be a Russian that doesn't want us to come here. The Russian could say, well, I want to go play in Columbus. I don't have to deal with the bullshit in Canada. It's not there could be a Canadian guy that says, I don't want to deal with the bullshit, I'm going south. You know, I mean, it's not just Americans or Russians or Canadians. It's just as a difficult thing, and it was handled really oddly, and I get that part. I get that part. Only thing I didn't like about this, Johnny Gaudreau held the cards, and I'm fine with him making his choice because he held the cards, and that's what you get when you get to UFA status.
Yep.
just don't screw over a team that gave you a lot while you were here. A lot.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot. They went to bat for him and protected him in some times when he was really having a tough go. They went to bat for him. Mm-hmm. But, all right, free agency that's left, and then we got to get rolling to some trades. Really, Nazem Kadri is the only one, and I don't know what the heck's going on there. Do you?
I think he's waiting for teams to clear cap space for him. I mean, I think he would love to go back to Colorado. I just don't know if they can afford him right now.
I don't, how do you even clear that much?
Let me just see. Let me just go check out Colorado's cap situation right now. Colorado's got $4 million cap.
How many more guys have they got to sign, though?
They don't got to sign any more people. They got 11 forwards, 8 D, and 2 goalies. So, maybe you move, I don't know. Hard to say. I mean, do you move an Eric Johnson? I don't know.
No, you can't afford to.
I'm just trying to think some, like, I would have gave Lehkonen's money to Kadri.
Me too.
I mean, that would have been $8 million right there. So. Yep.
I don't know. I don't think he goes back to Colorado. No, watch, he does that tonight.
Where do you think he goes?
I don't know, man. I don't have a beat on this one at all. I don't have a beat on this one at all. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Shoot, Calgary could be a likely landing spot. It really could.
Yeah, I thought about that. Just give some of Gaudreau's money to him.
I don't know.
Not a bad idea.
I don't think it's a good idea if you're a Flames, though. I think you just lay low right now in Calgary.
Yeah. So what's the next direction for the Flames, you think?
Well, we're going to talk about that a little later on here. I got a question about Matthew Tkachuk, so. Let's go through some trades. Ottawa Senators acquire Alex Obrinkit from the Blackhawks for a first rounder, a second rounder this year, and a third rounder in 2 years. I don't know. I don't know what Chicago's doing. Let's just move on.
I don't know. Like, are they trying to just force Taze and Kane out of Chicago?
We're going to talk about that later on in the show, too.
Like, are they just doing a fire sale and saying, like, all right, we're trading everybody just to piss those two off? That's like request a trade? Because this seems like they're tanking for Bedard big time.
We're going to talk about that. Okay, let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens New York Islanders trade that sent Romanoff to the Islanders in a fourth rounder for a first rounder in this year's draft. And this one surprised me because I thought he was a good defenseman for Montreal.
Yeah. Wait, did you say the DeBrincat trade or the Doc? Did I mishear you?
I talked about the DeBrincat. I haven't talked about the Doc.
Oh, right. So.
Talking about Romanoff to the Islanders now.
Right. I mean, he's a physical guy. He's young. Like, the Canadians gave up on Sergachev early, too, and then they trade this guy. I'm just like, is this going to be another one of those?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's good. He's tough to play against. He's lanky. He moves the puck okay. I mean, I didn't get this one. I didn't get it at all.
No, it was definitely a head-scratcher for me, too. And then they flipped that pick to Chicago. Sorry, somebody mute my phone here. They flipped that pick to Chicago for Kirby Doc. And now, once you get Kirby Doc, now the Slavkovsky pick makes a lot of sense. Because now you got Dvorak, Doc, and Suzuki down the middle, and now all of a sudden your center depth's pretty good. And the fact that Chicago moved Doc, who's just turned 21, and DeBrincat, who just turned 24, and you say you're going in a rebuild, wouldn't you want to build your team around those two players? I mean,
we're going to skip ahead.
Kirby Doc is 6'4", 21 years old. What are you trading guys like that for?
Those are guys, we're skipping ahead. We won't talk about this later in the show. We'll talk about it now. I look at that, and I'm sitting here going, everything that Chicago has done leads me to believe that they want to lose this year. But, I mean, but not even this year, though. They want to lose for years to come. Because DeBrincat and Doc, these are guys you build your team around for the future, right? This is rebuilding teams. These are the guys they want, right?
Yeah. Like the fact that, the fact that they only got a what was it, a seventh overall pick and a third round pick from Ottawa for DeBrincat, it's like, I don't know, man. And then... And then they just give up on Doc. Like, yeah, I get that he's had his injury problems. He had a freak broken wrist in the World Juniors a year ago. Like, I don't know. It's puzzling to me, the moves that they made. I didn't mind their draft, but the way they got those picks is just like, oh boy, what are we doing? And that leads to my point I made earlier. Are they just trying to just piss Kaden Kane off so they just request trades and go on about their business? Like, it makes you wonder.
It really makes me wonder. And the more I look at it, the more I think, geez.
And those are two contracts that are anchor contracts and are going to be almost impossible to move unless you retain like half. Like, I could see Kane going to like Buffalo or something. Going home, they retain
$5 million. He ain't going back to Buffalo after the cab incident.
Maybe he wants to finish his career at home. He's already got 3 cups. Maybe he goes in there, puts people in Buffalo's seats. He's a hometown kid. That might be what Buffalo needs. Is a guy like Patrick Kane to sell some tickets and
Buffalo doesn't have a problem selling tickets even when they've had struggling teams.
Yeah, they are a pretty passionate fan base, but they just lost Jack Eichel. Maybe that's the move they need to make. Bring in Patrick Kane.
I would bet you any amount of money that is on a no move clause that he won't go there.
Maybe it is. But I'm just saying,
I have no idea.
You retain him at half. Buffalo gives you prospects and picks. I don't know.
I am with you. It's going to be interesting. Another one that's really going to be interesting, and this is going to be crazy. Ottawa sends Matt Murray, a third rounder next year and a seventh rounder the year after, to Toronto for future considerations. I loved when I heard this, when I saw this trade, I was just like, oh my God.
The fact that Kyle Dubas is putting his job on the line with Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov is crazy to me. It is absolutely crazy. How do you go from having Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell 2 years ago to now having Matt Murray, who hasn't been good since 2017, and Ilya Samsonov, who struggled mightily the last 2 seasons, as your tandem? That is almost as bad as the Edmonton Oilers going with Koskinen and Mike Smith back-to-back seasons. Almost as identically bad.
I'm with you. You're
banking on Matt Murray to return to form from 6 years ago?
He hasn't been good for 3 years.
It's just a tremendous, tremendous gamble on the Leafs' part. And Matt Murray, he played pretty well last year on a bad Ottawa team in the 20 starts he did. He had 2 bad starts near the end of the season where he allowed 5 goals and 7 goals that kind of inflated his goals against. But that being said, I don't think the guy's body is capable of playing 50, 60 games. So that means it's going to be a 30, 35, 40 start. Like, it's going to be 50-50 split. I just don't know if that's the right move. I mean, Toronto's got the firepower to win 6-5, 7-6 games. But that ain't a recipe for success in the playoffs, and that's the least biggest problem. It's just like, they had this hole. Why wouldn't they just pay Jack Campbell?
Oh, because the fans already wrote him off.
The guy was loved in that locker room.
Yeah, the fans already wrote him off. Can't win. Not a winner.
Like, oh my God, man. What are we doing? This might turn into the damn goalie graveyard. They just keep running guys out of town.
Not what are you talking about? Turn into they, it already
they
is.
They ran Freddie out of town. Vezina candidate this year. Ran Campbell out of town. He's probably going to shine in Edmonton. And like, what is with Kyle Dubas and his Sioux Greyhound buddies? What is up with that? It's like, honestly, I just laughed when I saw this because I'm just like, this can't be serious.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is crazy. The Carolina Hurricanes acquire a couple players in some two different trades. From San Jose, they get Brett Burns, and they get Max Pacioretty from Vegas. And
Let's talk about Vegas for a second here.
Although Vegas is just clearing cap.
You got to look at the big picture of Vegas. So they've been in the league for what, 6 years?
5-6 years, yeah. They're already rolled through.
They're already on their third coach.
Yep.
And it just seems like, and to hear Max Pacioretty's comments was very, very shocking to me. You saw what he said?
I saw parts of it.
How players in Vegas have shelf life there.
Oh, yeah.
And that is not what you want to be known for as an organization. They gave away Fleury for nothing when he just won the Vezina. Now they trade Pacioretty for nothing. It's just like, what did they expect? They went out and brought in Pietrangelo on a huge deal. They gave lots of money to Robin Lehner,
their grass is greener, man. Everything's grass is greener to them.
Like, I just don't. I don't know, man. They trade away all their picks. I just don't know. Like, you know what, like. Old expansion teams, how they built through the draft and they signed young players to kind of build them up. I feel like they're just like fast tracking it, signing UFAs. We got more money than you guys. We're just going to outspend everybody. And it hasn't worked.
Mm-mm.
They brought in Pietrangelo. They traded for Pacioretty. They signed for that extension. Like they bring in Stone. I don't know, man. It just seems like, it's a very odd way to run that team. But like the fact that they had to give away three players, I don't know, man. They just gave away Dadonov, they gave away Pacioretty, and they gave away Fleury the last two seasons for absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
and it's just not good management.
Nope, it's not.
Okay, what was the other?
Brett Burns acquired.
Yeah, I like that deal. They retain what, 35%?
33.
Yeah, he's on a huge contract. I think he's got what, 3-4 years left on his deal. Let me go see here.
I think it's 3.
Carolina Brent Burns, he's got 3 years left at 5.2 after it's all said and done. The fact that they replaced Trocheck's production with Pacioretty, and they replaced D'Angelo's production with Brett Burns, so they really didn't get worse. You can argue they got better.
I know, but do you think it's weird that they just keep recycling defensemen every single year?
I mean,
defensemen that have good years, they recycle.
I like their decor.
So do I.
You got Slavin, you got Burns, you got Brady Shea, you got Brett Pesce, you got Dylan Coughlin in there. He's a 24-year-old right-handed prospect that they just gave away. Vegas, good one. And we'll see what goes on with Ethan Bear. They bring back the same tandem in Anderson and Aranta. And up front, you still got Aho, Svechnikov, Pacioretty, Stahl, Teravainen, Kotkaniemi. You got Martinuk. They just brought in Kase on a 1 year deal, $1.5 million. I love that deal. You got the young star in Seth Jarvis. I like this deal. I think you got Martin Nechess, who they still have to pay. But I really like what Carolina's doing here.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. I just kind of wonder about why they're recycling D.
Like the moves that they made, like Brett Burns, I think is better than D'Angelo. Right? Would you argue that? I mean, I know he's a little old, but...
Well, he's not better offensively.
I think he's better defensively, though.
Probably I'd give you that one.
And then I would rather have Pat Chiaretti than Trocheck.
So do I.
Because you need they need scoring.
Yeah.
And he's been a consistent 30 goal scorer his whole career.
Yeah.
Consistent as it can be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't go wrong with those moves at all.
One last trade, and then we got to roll. We're cruising. This show's going forever. Cam Talbot goes to the Ottawa Senators from the Minnesota Wild for Philip Gustafson. And this one really puzzled me because when Fleury re-signed, Talbot was pissed, which I didn't quite understand because I thought that was going to be a pretty good tandem, and I thought Talbot would be happy with that. But he was pissed said he wanted out, and I loved what Bill Guerin's response was. He said, I don't have to do shit. He's under contract. I need a goalie. He's a good goalie. I have a lot of trust in him. We're 50-50, and things are good. Why did he change his tone and trade him to Ottawa, which really pissed off Cam Talbot's wife because she does not want to go to Ottawa.
Well,
or maybe that's why he did it. I don't know.
I think Minnesota looked at the offer. They traded Kaapo Kähkönen for whatever reason last year, and they replaced that young goaltender with Philip Gustafson, who showed some promise in the games that he did play in the NHL with Ottawa. I think he could be a good young and up-and-coming goalie. He gets to play behind Fleury. Did he sign a one-year deal or a two? Fleury?
Fleury signed a two-year deal, I believe.
Okay, two-year deal. So, yeah, Gustafson gets to learn under one of the best goalies of this generation for the next couple of years. I think that could be very good for him. That's one of the best goalies that you can have as a mentor. I like this deal for Ottawa.
I mean,
you get a proven starter who is
I love the deal for Ottawa.
Expiring goaltender, right? I mean, is it crazy? Am I crazy for saying that Ottawa might make the playoffs?
Well,
is that am I outrageous for saying that? You look at their top six; it's among the best in the league. It's top ten.
No, I don't think you're crazy.
They're bringing in Sanderson to play this year. I mean,
I like what Ottawa's done.
Oh man! Oh my God! This is fake.
What are you talking about?
It's fake. This fell for a fake account. God, it said Dubois went to Montreal. It's a fake account. Those guys are sneaky, eh?
All right, time to go around the league. All right, time to quickly go around the league because we got to get to three questions really, really fast. Duncan Keith announces his retirement. What does that mean to the league? It means that his deal, which was a $5.54 million AAV, will get Chicago will be the ones eating some of the money during the next few years, which probably isn't bothering the Blackhawks since they're not trying to win anyways. So also rumors out of Edmonton this summer that Mike Smith will be an LTIR player next year. We'll see how that pans out. And salary arbitration is the talk of the town for Matthew Tkachuk now as the Calgary
that's the worst case scenario.
Well, he elected to not go to salary arbitration with the Flames. And the Flames...
Yeah, and I would too. It's terrible. It can ruin it. It can completely ruin relationships.
And the Flames elected to take him to arbitration. And the reason why the Flames want to take him to arbitration is once he goes to arbitration, nobody can offer sheet him.
Yeah, I understand that from a business standpoint, but now you go into a room and talk down Matthew Tkachuk on why he's not worth it.
They don't need to talk down. He's not getting more than his qualifying offer anyways. The arbitrator's not giving him more than nine. What? Arbitrator's not giving him more than $9 million.
I know that, Brad, but it's not good for relationships.
Why? They don't even have to talk bad about him.
To go to arbitration,
you're protecting your asset. You're protecting your asset.
He wasn't getting off sheeted anyway.
Well, okay. He's probably not getting signed either because they're going to probably trade him.
And if he signs the offer sheet, you take your 4 first-round picks and run.
If I'm Calgary right now, I tell Matthew Tkachuk, dude, we love you. We want you. Here's our offer. You got to August 15th. If you don't give us an answer, we're trading you.
So it makes me chuckle, like, all these Flames fans on social media that – oh, Calgary's got to rebuild. Blah, blah.
No, they don't need to rebuild.
It's like, what? You just signed a top 5 goalie to a 6-year deal. You really think he wants to go through a rebuild?
No, either.
Not a chance.
But, Blake, see, that's the thing. You listen to everybody on social media. You don't need a license to get a social media account, right?
No, I know that. It's just comedy.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you ready for 3 questions?
Yeah.
It's time for 3 questions.
Last show, Blake fired 3 questions at me. It's my turn to fire them right back. We're going to do a fast-forward version of it since we are running really long tonight. Question number 1. Did it surprise you when the Capitals did not qualify Samsonov?
No, because, I mean, if your intention was to always sign Kemper.
Don't you think they could have got something for him, though?
Not really. He hasn't really played well the last 2 years, so I just feel like they just didn't think there was much value there. So I wasn't surprised.
Will anyone sign PK Subban?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he'll sign right away. I think it'll be like a last resort for a lot of teams. But I mean, PK Subban at a couple million dollars wouldn't be bad at all.
I wouldn't give him a couple.
He ain't gonna get the 9 that he was making in New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get 2.
I mean, fuck, if he signs for $900,000, I think he'd be good.
Yeah. The biggest winner in free agency and the biggest loser in free agency.
Oh boy. Well, an obvious loser is Calgary. I mean, they lost one of the best players in the league. I know they did everything to re-sign him, but
still, yep.
he still left. So yeah, I could, that's a big hole to fill.
I had another loser. I had Florida.
Yep, Florida for me.
Winner, I have 1.
I have
more than 1, but I have 1 that stands above.
I have Detroit.
I have Detroit.
I like what New Jersey did.
I have Ottawa because they got rid of Matt Murray's contract. That's a win right there.
I would have Ottawa on my list too. I like what Edmonton did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edmonton did.
They filled a need that they've had to for the last – when's the last time they've had a good goalie?
Bill Ranford.
They had Cam Talbot. He won 42 games for them.
Nikolai Habibulin.
No, I'm trying to think.
He was a stud.
Trying to think.
Curtis Joseph?
Like it's been a long, long time that they've had a veteran.
Curtis Joseph?
Yeah, they had Tommy Salo.
Curtis Dwayne Joseph.
Dwayne Rollison was pretty good for them.
Yeah. Short term, but good.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's been a long time.
I one final thing that I wanted to tell you, and then we're going to move on to the listener question. But do you realize that in the Florida Panthers, right, at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
For 20 games of using Ben Chiarot and Claude Giroux, which are both gone now, they had them for 20 games. They gave up former top 10 pick Owen Tippett, prospect Tyler Simulik, a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, a third-round pick next year, and traded down from the fourth round to the fifth round. All for that. For 20 games.
It's tough. Oof. Yeah, they didn't have the playoffs that they wanted. right? They got embarrassed by Tampa, but that's the dice you roll at the deadline.
Yeah, oh, that's a big price. That's a big price. Listener question. Who, when we look back 5 years from now, will be this year's free agent signing disaster?
Oh, like the 2016 class?
Well, I can name some really bad ones.
Yeah, the 2016 class.
Yeah.
Louis Erickson, Lucic, Troy Brower. Good God. Andrew Ladd, Kyle Okposo. The list goes on. A deal that could be bad. So it would have to be a long-term deal. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, the one that's going to be a bad. We're going to look back and go, "Can you?"
Eric Branson's going to be terrible. Trying to look down the list here. Maybe Ricard Raquel.
Ben Chiarot. I don't know
that one. Yeah. Nick Leddy. I don't know. He's 32 years old. Four times four.
Do I say Johnny Gaudreau? No. No.
No, probably not. You're just being a petty fan.
Probably not. I don't know. Probably not. We'll see. That's a lot of money for a guy that, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Well, it's
back at the 107 mark.
Yeah. Time for a short break in the show. We're going to be back again August 15th for an off-season episode. And, yeah, the final episode of this season before we restart things in September with an all-new updates on the show and everything firing into next season. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy a little break from hockey as we reboot and get ready for another exciting NHL season come October. We're busy making things bigger and better for Season 6 of the Debate Hockey Podcast. Make sure you check us out on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group and get on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Rate, review, subscribe, and check us out at debatehockey.com. Have a good off-season, hockey fans. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.